The words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. In our gospel just proclaimed, we heard our Lord saying, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." And this is the Spirit of truth. Our Lord then went on to say that some are not receiving this truth because they don't see or know the Spirit. But those who follow our Lord's encouragement, his commandments, they are the ones who follow the way of love. And in the unfolding process of this, God will reveal himself to them. Now, over time, since those words were spoken by Jesus, over the centuries, different theologies and perspectives and understandings of these words have evolved within the church and at large. And that's why sometimes today, when we follow these, they result, depending where you find yourself and what community you find yourself, you'll find different emphasis of ministry within the church and also without. Sometimes these words are understood with a rather exclusive perspective or lens. And sometimes these words of Jesus are expressed with a more inclusive approach. In my own life over the years of ministry, I've come to the point where I tend to understand and experience God in my day-to-day approach to ministry. And acknowledging I find God in many different ways, but especially when I look at you and myself, and I find that sense of holiness in the relationship. Jesus Christ continues to reveal himself to me, surprisingly, in encounters such as that. I recall years ago now, in 2002. Now that may, if you think about it, was just immediately following that year 2001 in which something happened that shook the world. I was invited to meet with a group of 35 people at a mosque in Chippewa, just outside Niagara Falls, for a meeting. At that point in time, I was just wrapping up my parish ministry before I retired. This group that came together was the newly established Niagara Interfaith Council, which came into being following September the 11th, 2001. And that's a date I suspect will be in much of our memories, when there were four attacks, two on the World Trade Center, one on the Pentagon, and one on a hijacked airliner. And it shook the Western world. At this meeting, I remember with this group of people, we were composed of Anglican, Lutherans, United Church, Presbyterian, and Roman Catholic clergy. And there were also Buddhist monks, Hindu spiritual leaders, a Muslim imam, and some Jewish synagogue leaders. As we came together and sat around in a circle. We broke bread together. And we prayed together in that circle for peace, for justice, for wisdom and understanding. And we talked. There was a sharing that day among us of what had been done so far as to promote understanding of our various faith traditions and what we might do to improve that in the future and the unfolding days ahead. I also remember, when I look back, what stood out for me. Our time together in that circle was characterized by a spirit of respect and a gentleness of spirit. And for me, from within my own Christian tradition and perspective, I sensed God's spirit at work. The advocate mentioned in our Gospel of John today. It was there, abiding with us as we gathered. Now, the advocate, the spirit that John was referring to, goes by various names. The language that John used to translate that he composed his gospel was in Greek, Koine Greek, the common Greek, the common language of that day in that part of the world. And the word he used was parakletos, or as we say in English, paraclete. And that word paraclete has found various expressions within the English language. Today's translation used the word advocate, but it's only one of a number. In other English translations, you'll find the word comforter or counselor or helper. It means one who exhorts, who comforts, encourages, and speaks for one another. The paraclete, the advocate, Jesus was saying to those early Christians, would continue his work in their midst. And what our Lord was doing was preparing them for that time when he would no longer be with them in the physical way that they had been accustomed. But he says, I will not leave you orphaned. These were words of comfort. And this love that was evident among those early followers, those disciples, among themselves and when they were with Jesus and when they had a sense of worshiping in the name of the Father. There was an experience for them which was the divine presence, a sense of holiness was there, and it continued even after our Lord's death and resurrection and ascension. And frankly, this reality continues today among God's people of every race and culture in various different settings and places. God of many names, whether it be Elohim, or Yahweh, or Manitoua, or Krishna, Allah. We lived until recently in a world where communication was not evident between our various cultures because of time in space, but now in this digital age, we are instantly communicating with one another, and we are in fact a global village. And so God does have many names. From my Christian tradition, I think there's something that we have to offer And this is what Paul did in his meeting with his fellow people who were in Greece at the Pantheon, and as we heard in our first reading today, there he said, he pointed to a shrine there and says, "You Greeks, you call that an altar to an unknown God. From where I stand," he said, "this unknown God is more than just unknown. And I can put a face to it, the face of a person called Jesus, the Christos, the one who was crucified and knew suffering, who died, but transcended death and is still with us. And I want to share that with you." And he said that to those Athenians. Some of them, that didn't take root. But for others, that they understood, and they became the first Christian community in Athens. And that's part of the attraction I find when I look at the life of St. Paul around his work in the Mediterranean world, and going here and there and speaking to people of various cultures and seeding congregations, seeding churches that have endured in many places even to today. One mark I think of Paul was that, again, when he was speaking with those Athenians at the Pantheon, he was speaking with a sense of gentleness and respect to challenge them about the work that God had done in his experience. And I think that is something that we need to keep in mind when you and I go about our daily work in the communities in which we find ourselves living and working. And that is that spirit of being gentle and with respect as we dialogue with one another. Here in Kitchener and Waterloo, in our communities of academia, in our universities, in our schools, in our communities of Kitchener, neighborhoods of Kitchener and Waterloo and Cambridge, where there are sometimes movements to sort of isolate one another where one can meet or worship, we need to encourage gentle dialogue and respectful challenge when we encounter that. Our readings for today encourage and urge us to listen and to seek the common ground, the common good, and that can work with patience and justice for all. For us here, particularly as Christians at St. George's, we are a conscious community in which we have that sense of God's presence among us and dwelling with us and guiding us. And that's something that you and I can share by what we say and by our example and what we do with one another. And when we do that, we're celebrating the Easter faith, that season which we're in which our lives, we find, are transformed by this grace and love. And that's the abiding Paraclete, the Advocate. And I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us here and you in the days ahead, and as you will one of these days, and God only knows, but when the interim time finishes and you will be welcoming a new pastor, a new rector in your midst, and maybe a family, that you'll be beginning an exciting new time. And that is the upbuilding of community, but it's in God's own time. Amen.